Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. It's tonight's news brought to life by Roy Rogers, Kay Evans, Mel Morris, and Charlie Solder. From a desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine, Hedda Hopper.
Hello, everybody. Janice Carter's bringing a divorce action against Carl Prager, musician. They've been married 10 years. The Hollywood canteen will open between Decoration Day and July 4th, if there are enough men in uniform by then to make it necessary. Bill Powell will be a grandfather in a few months. His son, Bill Jr., a Marine in the last war, joined the Marines again yesterday. Russell Knight's asking price for his first movie, $50,000. He's the lad the Duchess of Windsor made famous. Congratulations to Ella Lane's husband, Major Robin Olds. He's now Lieutenant Colonel Olds. Mike Coles is one of 80,000 laid up in Los Angeles with the flu. Last week, a right news story fell right into my lap. 15 years ago, when the part of Hopalong Cassidy was doing tests, it almost went to that wild and woolly maverick David Niven. And according to David, a cowboy doesn't have to know anything about riding, roping, or shooting. All he has to do is say, "Reach, you chaps, reach."
Oh, but that's plumb foolish. Why, every dude knows all a cowboy has to do is sing.
Yes, this week's big western news comes from a guy who wears the chaps and does his reaching for high notes. The king of the cowboys himself, Roy Rogers, with something brand new about a dogie.
It's a dogie named Yogi, isn't it? Yippee-yay-oh,
Yogi. Yippee-yay-oh, Yogi. Yogi, the dogie with listen on his tail. On the range there lived the cat named Yogi. Cowboys found him wandering in the snow. All the hands are mighty fond of Yogi, so they gave him special feet, but he won't go. Yogi, the dogie with ribbon on his tail. Not a father or a mother. Yogi, the dogie with ribbon on his tail. They took him to the rodeo with tears in their eyes. Saddest camp they ever seen, but Yogi won the prize. The cowboy tied to the sun on his tail down the track. That's how Yogi the dogie got the ribbon on his tail. Yippee-yay-oh, Yogi! Yippee-yay-oh, Yogi! Yogi the dogie with the ribbon on his tail. They took him to the rodeo with tears in their eyes. Saddest cat they'd ever seen, but Yogi won the prize. Cowboy tied to the sun on his tail down the track. That's how Yogi the dogie got the ribbon on his tail. Yippee-yay-oh, Yogi! Yippee-yay-oh, Yogi! Yogi the dogie with the ribbon.
Oh, the kids will love it, Roy. But don't kid me about your singing. You're practically a free ring the day along.
Oh, no.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Not to mention that place of yours out in the valley with 4 children, 34 dogs, 15 horses.
And me, Gail Evans, hello.
Roy, I'm so glad you brought your wife.
Well, there wasn't room in my car for my horse.
Oh, listen to that. Anything I love, it's that drawing room comedy, Hedda. The truth is, when I don't come, me and Trigger get to talking so much, they just forget where they're going. Well, don't give me that, you two. Dale, I happen to know you're always with Roy. You're inseparable, even in pictures. You hunt together, ride together.
Yeah, that's right, Hedda. Dale does everything I do.
That's the story we have for you, Hedda. We're all excited. We're starting our new picture together tomorrow, and it's called South of Caliente. And it's our first one in a whole year. Why so long, Roy? What were you doing?
Having a baby.
Well, don't ask about it.
There's one thing Dale does that I can't do. She writes songs.
Well, story number two. Forget how we sing.
I know.
Together.
It's another brand new one, Heather. It's called Hazy Mountain.
Flanagan, who wrote the novel Mrs. March, is suing Sam Bischoff, Huntington Hartford, William Nassau, and Dick Powell for an accounting of profits from the picture of the same name. She hasn't yet received full payment for the original story. That book was based on her hardships in Canada. Now she'll be able to write one about her Hollywood hardships. Sid Lust expected to divorce Lynn Barry in Mexico. Instead, Lynn went to Las Vegas to divorce him so she can marry Alan Nixon, Mary Wilsonbeck. When Sid is free, his friends believe Judy Garland will have gotten a quick divorce and now marry. Sounds like a comedy of errors, doesn't it? George Kaufman comes west in 3 weeks to start rehearsing another company in Guys and Dolls. Dick Tintino will squire Piper Laurie to a premiere of the picture this week, and she promised him she wouldn't eat her corsage. In order to get a close-up of that Honolulu volcano erupting for Bird of Paradise, Daryl Zanuck kept a camera crew waiting for 2 months. Then when she started to blow her top, 2 cameras were ruined and the cameraman had his shoes burned off. On Tuesday night at the Carthay Circle Theater, Hollywood will see the presentation of the first Tusty Award. Yes, Tusty, which stands for the Picture Animal Top Star of the Year. Because for the first time in history, our animal stars and their trainers will be honored with their equivalent of a doctor. The organization presenting the Tustys is the American Humane Association.
Well, that's the national group that represents the local humane societies, the SPCA, and so on throughout the country.
And Joel Mel North, the man from the American Humane Association who works with the Hollywood studios. You help supervise the use of animals in pictures, don't you, Mel?
Yes. People love animals, Heather. Lots of freedom in movies. But to get them to perform in all the lights and confusion of movie making takes some fancy training. So this award is to honor the best.
I know, when Lassie growls at the villain, people sometimes forget she did it on command. With no props either. And so she's up for the Tusty. But tell me, who are some of the others, Mel?
Francis DeMille.
Francis? Oh, he's my dinner date at the Harvard Club.
Well, the wonderful German Shepherd. There's the lion, Jackie.
Oh, I knew his father well.
Well, this is Jackie Jr. Remember how he wrestled with Samson and Samson and Delilah?
Well, I thought that was Cecil DeMille.
He has a chimp in My Friend Irma Goes West and three of Hollywood's famous horses.
And on Wednesday morning in my column, there'll be the name of the winner, picked by a nationwide poll of columnists. But wait a minute now before you go. I think everybody's interested in some of the sidelights of movie making. Will you take a minute and tell us about yours?
Supervising the use of animals? Better, there was a day in the movies when to get a shot of a horse falling, they used what we call a running W. Two wires to the horse's front feet that were jerked and over he went. Head over heels. Quite often, he broke his neck. Nowadays, we get even more effective shots. But how? By training the horses. Believe it or not, to lie down on command even when running at a full gallop. In the past year, there were more than 14,000 animals featured in pictures. Many more than ever before. Why? Because people know that no matter how exciting or dangerous a shot, nowadays it's all done through training.
Thanks, Mel Moore. And the same for my Dachshund Wolfie and my Sealum, Jagwood. Camilla Bankhead has done everything in the world to get Betty Davis on the big show. She's made some mighty funny cracks about Betty, who never answered back. Finally, Betty made Shalulu an offer. She agreed to play Ann Baxter's role in All About Eve and give the Davis part to Shalulu on condition that they wouldn't argue before or after the dramatic scene. And I'll be darned if Shalulu's producer didn't turn it down, and they call that the big show. John Daly had the time of his life at the Menninger Clinic in producer conferences. He attended Washburn College and took a course in literature and screenwriting, also music. He came back to town to sign his wife's property settlement and goes right back to the clinic to finish his two college courses. Mae West plays Diamond Lil here and in San Francisco, then retires from the stage to open her nightclub in Las Vegas. Says she has more backers than Eve had apples. The well-known producer met Walter Brennan at luncheon and said, Walter, you know, you could have been the biggest star here if you hadn't been so stingy. They say you've got your first dollar. That's not true, said Walter. I've got the second. I loaned you the first. John Lund's battling Paramount for more money and better parts. He took a suspension rather than do a loan out. Won't work until he wins or loses his battle. There was a movie made a year ago which opened with these words.
6 degrees north of the equator, in the heart of the East Indies, lies Sandakan, the China capital of British North Borneo. The year was 1941.
Do you recognize the voice?
Yes, it's Claudette Colbert with the opening narration from a movie based on a true story. Three Came Home. There have been a number of fine pictures made about the last war, but I think this one deals best with something that every one of us lives with every minute, like today. Fear of an unknown future. Fear of what might happen and how we would act as individuals and as families if war should come again and come to our shores. Well, in the early part of Three Came Home, there is an answer, a message well worth retelling, a message that Claudette Colbert brings to life so beautifully.
In Sandakan in 1941, there were 15,000 Asiatics, 79 Europeans, and one American. I was the American. My name is Agnes Keith. My husband is Harold Keith, a colonial official of British North Borneo. We have a little boy named George.
Well, well, well. Hello there, young man. Had any fight yet?
Yes, sir.
Fine, fine. Did you win?
Yes, sir.
That's a good lad. How big was he?
Oh, he wasn't a boy. He was a girl.
See you later, Doctor.
Oh, a girl, eh? Well, that's even better. Can't start too early, that sort of thing.
You're trying to corrupt him again, Dr. Bandy?
Not in the least. Boy's got to learn to protect himself against women.
Well, Doctor, what's the verdict?
Which would you like? Girl or another boy?
Then it's business.
How are you feeling? All right?
Well, morning, you know.
Perfectly normal. How's Harry feel about it?
He doesn't know yet.
Well, what's the matter? Afraid to tell him?
No, of course not. Why should I be?
Well, having another baby right now, the situation, I mean, the war and all that.
Oh. Do you really think they'll come? The Japanese?
I'm afraid I do. Eventually.
I can't believe it.
No, I really can't.
Well, I hope not, of course, but I think we ought to be prepared for it anyway.
How? How can we prepare for brutality, for torture, or even worse?
It's all so incredible, so completely beyond anything I've ever thought of. I'm really ashamed to think of what I might do if they came.
The very thought of anything like that just brings it to my heart.
I don't quite get it myself, to tell you the truth. You know, if the Japs land here, they'll probably have to drag me down out of those hills.
Oh, I know that's where they'll find me. Harry, darling, the Japanese aren't exactly headhunters.
Yes, and we're not exactly well defended. We're made of police and volunteers. In fact, we're not defended at all.
Oh, but, Mr. Keith, what would you do if they came?
What could we do, Commander? Invite them up for tea, I suppose.
Well, me, I'm only an ignorant sailor. Well, now, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was a Jap. I'd look for an island with oil that didn't have so many ants on
it. Now, seriously, both of you, I think we're exaggerating. They're supposed to be a modern army with trained officers. They certainly understand and recognize civilian rights. Well, don't you think so?
Mrs. Keith, I'm afraid you sound just like a lot of people back in the States. But don't get me wrong. I also think you're the best hostess I've met since the Navy made a tourist out of me. Glad you could come, Commander.
Yes, it was so wonderful to hear an American voice. Good night, Commander.
Good night. Thanks again.
Darling, would you like to take a little trip?
Trip?
Home. Back to the States, you and Georgie.
Are you beginning to worry, too?
No, not altogether. But, well, I have my job. I have to stay here. Well, it's liable to be a bit rough. No need taking too many chances, you know.
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave you. I want to be with you, whatever happens.
No matter what I think?
No matter whatever.
Mm-hmm. Never knew before that you were a woman of steel.
Oh, I'm not. I'm a woman of tinfoil. I'm scared to death already.
You have very nice hands, you know. Very nice.
Yeah?
Always. Let's go now. Eileen says Doc Brandy dropped in this morning. Anything wrong?
Oh, no. No, I just wanted him to take a look at Georgie's throat. Hey, Commander Pritchard was very nice, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, you are. Visiting observer. Had a good year while I have a visit from that American Navy of his.
We have just received the following dispatch of the gravest importance. Pearl Harbor has been bombed by the Japanese. The attack, which was made in great force, is only a part of a tremendous offensive launched against the
And then we waited. For 5 weeks from that December morning, we waited for the voice of command and authority to give us our orders. On January 11th, we got them.
To all British subjects in the state of North Borneo, the enemy occupied Disselton this morning and may be expected in Sandakan at any hour now. You will be doing your duty by remaining at your post. Meet the enemy, resist passively, do not cooperate. We are sorry, but we cannot help you. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Oh, yeah. Now, there is time for this. Yes?
Darling.
Harry, did you hear that? Is that all? I mean, the wireless went on the blink while the station went off.
Wait a minute. They were wrong, anyway.
What?
Behind time, that's all. The Japs are landing at the dock right now.
Oh, no.
Now, take Georgie and get down to the government house as fast as you can. All the mothers and children are to gather and stay there until we know what's going to happen.
Understand? Yes, but Harry, what will we do?
I don't know, dear. I don't know. Just hurry.
Agnes, I'd put my wristwatch away if I were you. Oh, of course. Oh, thank you. I intended to, but I came away from the house so fast. Don't talk now.
But what was it, Mom? Where's Daddy? What?
Mother doesn't know. But just be quiet. I don't know.
The Mrs. Agnes Newton Keith?
What? Yes.
Colonel Suga wants to see you. Alone. Come with me.
Oh, but my little boy.
I'll take care of Georgie. I'll just...
Father!
I read your book you write about burial, Mrs. Keith. Land Below the Wind.
Yes, Tim. But can't you tell me what's happening to my husband?
Very interesting book. I read it in the Japanese edition.
Oh. You mean there's something wrong about the book?
I have never owned a book autographed by the author. I thought you might give me one.
You... What considering you certainly picked a fine chance. Oh, please, Colonel, hold my husband. The rest of the men, what's going to happen to us?
You men are all right. You will all be sent home. You will find out in due time what will happen. Perhaps I will find out myself, who knows?
And so the weeks dragged on, not knowing what would happen, waiting, watching soldiers come to one house, then another, trying to pretend that life under occupation could go on normally. And I was still pretending, too. Harry had enough to worry him without my telling him about the new baby. And then, one day, there were soldiers at my house.
Kokomioru. Get a koi.
Oh, come here, sweetie.
You have no right to come in like this. Now get out of here before I call the
MP. No hurt, old lady. See, Matt. Come here. No hurt.
Matt?
Which house? Which house? Which man house? Show. Show on map.
Nani o shioruka. Otsaina.
There are no rich men in Sandakan, if that's what you mean. And besides that, that isn't even a map of Sandakan. That's a map of Jesselton.
Nagute. Hanashi o hatsuri sate.
You no tell on the map? Very dumb game.
Why didn't you tell me, dear?
Doesn't matter now, does it? Well, at least it's one less problem to handle.
What is it, Mom?
I'm afraid we're not going to have a baby brother after all, darling.
And what about a little baby sister?
No. Well, it's sister with us. For a while, it'll have to be just us, that's all. You and Mom and Daddy. You and me and Daddy. I should have known.
May 12th, 1942. All Europeans will be evacuated to prison camps this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Be ready when they truck home. Men and women will be in prison separately. Signed, Suga.
Got a few more minutes. Even if they're on time, the space probably won't be.
Oh, darling.
Yes. Oh, don't, darling.
Have you heard anything at all? Where are we going?
Not a thing that means anything.
Do you think we'll be able to run?
Oh, I'm sure so.
If only they make some kind of provision for children.
Well, he's pretty sturdy, that's one good thing.
But he's so full of I'm so scared.
I know, darling, everybody is. There's a truck out there. Oh, come on now. Come on, where's that Yankee spinner?
I'm really scared to be without you. I need you, George. I could go through what I'll do without you. I'm sure of not knowing about telephone that. Who on earth?
Hello? Oh, yes,
Colonel Suga. Colonel Suga? Oh, you have to talk to him. Maybe there's something I can do. Hello? Colonel? Colonel, hello. This is Mrs. Keith.
Oh, I'm so glad I caught you in time. Just in time. I was just wondering, had you forgotten the book you promised me? The autograph of? Before you go?
Hello,
hello,
did you hear?
Mr. Keith, one child.
Oh, you don't have to shout at us. We're quite ready. Goodbye, darling. Don't worry about George and me. We've got the Yankee spirit all right. No matter what happens, we'll get along. Yes, I finally learned it. And in the months and years and unspeakable hardships that followed, I knew it more and more. We're not nearly as fragile as we think we are, as we fear we're going to be. When the unknown thing happens, when the soldiers come trampling with their guns, do we topple over at the first tap? No, apparently not. We may be a little groggy, but we're still on our feet. Don't you think that's a remarkable thing? Thank you, Robert Coburn. And good luck with your next picture, The High Ground, for Universal International. Hollywood and Los Angeles are magic datelines. News editors everywhere take a second look at anything emanating from this neck of the woods. We have drama personalities. We have the unusual situations. Add Mixwell, and you have front page news. This past week was no exception. The Kefauver Crime Committee has been with us again, probing and listening to our public officials groan and moan, which caused to be sent throughout the world more sorry pictures of conditions here. Now, what are the facts? Is this a den of iniquity, the black hole of Calcutta? Listen, we're no worse than other communities. We have crime, sure. What city hasn't? We have racketeers, too. What community is free from those rats? But worst of all, we have many buck-passing public officials, a condition prevalent in most big cities, and the shame of law enforcement in America today. They admit they can't cope with local conditions. They're happy to tell someone from Washington what's wrong. Then they feel their duty's done. Dump it into the federal laps is their motto when it comes to crime. It's a trend, we're told. It's a disgrace. We should shout back at them. Why should the Senate of the United States waste its members' time and taxpayers' money running around the country listening to weak-kneed local officials sob on its shoulders? Why shouldn't these local officials clean up their own backyard and get out of office? Why shouldn't they be forced to do their duty instead of wringing their hands before a senatorial committee? There isn't anything wrong with Hollywood, Los Angeles, or any other community for that matter that a little homegrown courage won't cure. So don't laugh at us. Look around you. There may be a busy signal on the Washington line from your hometown, too.
Next week, NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with more Hollywood news brought to life by George Sanders, Cass Daly, and Gary Cooper.
Good night, everybody.
Hear Hedda Hopper next Sunday, right after Phil Harris. And in just a moment, hear Theater Guild with John Gielgud, Dorothy McGuire, and Pamela Brown starring in Hamlet. Show is produced by FMB with direction by Gil Faust, music by Frank Worth. This is Art Baker bidding you good night.
Reach on Mean Good Times on NBC. You're invited to stay tuned to your NBC station, for in just a few seconds, Theater Guild on the Air will begin its presentation of radio's most exciting dramatic event, Hamlet. Noted actor John Gielgud portrays Hamlet. It's a full hour and a half production on Theater Guild on the Air. Next on NBC.